Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Christina Lael, who's a tax attorney with Freedom Tax Plans, and we'll be talking about how to successfully pass an IRS tax audit. Christina, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think this is kind of a really great topic, and it's really detailed and really pointed, and it's not going to be broad. And I know you can't get into the weeds about many things, but I am excited to learn some of your perspectives and tips on how to pass that IRS tax audit. So get us started with kind of the varieties of audits. Like, are there some that are, you know, just the, we're just checking in, or, ooh, here's a red flag, and you now get audited. So where do you start when a client has questions about a tax audit?
Oh, great question, Mike. So most audits and the vast majority of audits are pretty much automated, and it's like a notice that you get from the IRS, which we take care of that for all of our clients. And usually they're just questions or you have to verify something. Now, I have to say recently the IRS is so far behind and they're in such a mess that we've been getting notices that are just incorrect from, you know, so for so many of our clients that saying their extension wasn't filed on time, but it was. And we just send in that proof that, yes, we filed it on time. And it's really hard to get through to the IRS right now. In fact, you can't. So I know with the Inflation Reduction Act that they're hiring all these new agents, which some people think that, everyone's going to be audited. That is definitely not the case. they're so far behind that
they're playing catch up.
Yeah, it's a catch up. And, and throughout the years, the IRS has been reduced, manpower, and it's going to be over 10 years. And they're also replacing 50,000 agents that are retiring. And a lot of that money and people that they're hiring is for technology upgrades, which is desperately needed because some of their technology is literally 50 years old.
Wow.
So anyway, I don't want everyone to think that, oh my gosh, I'm going to get audited because of this, in the media, they're hiring all these agents. Most just like before. And again, they're just trying to get back to where they were like in 1995. However, most audits are just automated and you just get notices in the mail and asking questions or can you send us information about this or this, or we have records here that you didn't send your tax return on time. Just make sure that you're.
But is that considered an audit?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like a full-on audit, like you need to provide reams of paper of proof, but that is like an inquiry. And personally, myself, about 10 years ago, I got one of those letters that said, hey, you said you donated this much to this organization, prove it, in essence, is what they said. And I just, took photocopies of front and back of the check, sent it in, and got a letter, thank you. And then about 4 years ago, I got the old, we needed to do an audit, and it was a full-on agent in my house and reams of paper, and they said that it was random and it was just checking to make sure, and it was. I mean, I literally got it down to like I couldn't account for $200 the whole year, and they're like, oh good, as long as it's under whatever 400, we're good to go. But I mean, they checked all the boxes. But talk a little bit about the types of audit where I kept feeling and saying, did I do something wrong? And they're like, oh no, this is random. Well, is that actually the case, or are they digging for more and they're setting you up for something,
No, they can absolutely be random. Very, very few people actually go through a full audit.
Yeah.
Like that. Now I will say though that if you file a Schedule C, if you're a sole proprietor, your chances of being audited are increased. So if your tax is an S corp or your tax is a C corp, you have a separate or a partnership even, there is proof that you're less likely to get audited for business owners, just FYI there.
So let's clarify that real quick. If you're a sole proprietor and you file a Schedule C, meaning you've got some extra write-offs, that could be a red flag, whereas you might need to go, okay, let's go LLC not sole prop, but go Schedule C. Why do I keep saying Schedule C? But go LLC or S corp, because then that's an actual corporation, and then that is more congruent with that Schedule C.
Right. Yeah. So if your business files a separate tax return, there is evidence that you're not as likely to be audited.
Gotcha.
Okay. So if you file like 1120S or 1065 for your business or 1120 for a C corp, then that you're less likely to.
Because they see that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I guess they think that you're more sophisticated or maybe working with a professional. Yeah. But yeah, okay. So it's about like a third less is what the evidence has suggested. But yeah, so that's the, you know, you get your different notices. Really, that's the most common, really, audit. And then you have someone go through the full audit. You know, we've gone through that with our clients. And, you know, the thing that I tell people, the number one risk for audits is not having your receipts.
Yeah.
Your receipts for your expenses. That is really the number one audit risk. You know, it's not anything super complicated, or just have your receipts. And, you know, one thing we talked about before is I want to offer to your listeners for free my Lael tax app, and it's L-A-E-L, A before E, just like in the alphabet. And you can download that if you have an Android phone or an iPhone. And that's it's absolutely free. And that's a great way for you to keep pictures of your receipts, to keep proof of your income, even to keep track of your mileage, and some really great features that you can use to keep those receipts and help you with an audit, and it keeps everything backed up. Another key that I've told people to do is, so many things are electronic now. You know, you can get so many receipts emailed to you. So if you have my Lael Tax app, you can just take a picture of it and upload it to the app. But if you get it like emailed to you, your receipt, you know, just put, what I do is I have someplace on my computer backed up that has, it's a receipts folder. And each year I have a folder for each year. And then within that folder, I have a folder for each month.
Yeah.
And then when I save that receipt, or someone on my team does, but it was just me, I did it. I would always start off, when I saved it, I would always start with the dollar amount, just so if you were to get audited, you could easily find it. And then a brief description of what it is. And then if you have different credit cards or different bank accounts, like what maybe the last four of what it was, you know, paid. If you're, you know, if you've grown, you have more than one credit card, like I have several credit cards, and I've got team members that use credit cards. So, you know, I'll do CC and then the last four of the number, or, you know, paid out of a last four of this business bank account, because I have several business bank accounts. So that's a great way to keep electronic receipts on your computer.
So basically, you're trying to get people to get rid of that shoebox full of papers and get into the 21st century and use an app and take a picture or save it on a computer. And that is so, I tell you, just aside from the fact of being a factor to help reduce the chance of an audit or to successfully pass an audit, because you still might get that inquiry or that audit. But when you are set up like that and they see that, oh, here's my receipts and it's just nicely organized, that's really a huge step. But also, it just would make the person, the business owner, feel so organized, right? To know, simple. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it also impresses the auditors. I mean, auditors are humans too, right? So it's all about impressions and presentation. And if you have everything in order, that's going to go a long way. And this auditor is going to come in thinking, oh, well, this person's really, you know, got it under control and very, very organized. You know, for our clients, we actually take care of any audits for them. And of course, we do different tax saving strategies, and we implement everything for our clients. So with those tax saving strategies, we'll say, okay, well, here are all the, you know, strategies and the documents for each strategy. You know, they're being correctly implemented. Any documents have been created. And that's the same thing that Freedom Tax Plans does, by the way.
Yes.
For those who want to save money in taxes, you can use my Freedom Tax Plans program, and it'll do all this for you, for, you know, all the correct documents and forms for any of the strategies, and you present that to the auditor, and they're just very, very impressed with that. So we've never had any problems with any of our audits with our clients.
So to successfully pass an audit, your first tip is be diligent in your documentation, your receipts. Mm-hmm. What's another thing to keep in mind?
That is really the most important thing. You know, if you're writing off mileage, you want to keep track of your vehicle, you know, expenses. You want to have good books too. So even if you're just have one bank statement, but you need to have a separate bank statement for your business and a separate business bank account. People, if you guys are running a business, I'm sure none of your listeners are doing this, but do not commingle your business money with your personal. Create a separate business bank account. If anything, please do that and have a separate business credit card. And even if you don't use QuickBooks or Xero or an official accounting program, at least have a separate business bank account and keep track of, when you have deposits, is that income or is that, a capital contribution? Are you, borrowing or lending money to your business or making a capital contribution into your business so that you don't pay taxes on that? Make sure that you're somewhere, even if it's just writing it down in a notebook, on this date, I deposited $1,000 and that's a capital contribution from my personal account that you're giving to your business because you don't pay taxes on that.
Yes.
And then also, again, keeping track of expenses, having that receipt, and making a note if it's not clear, in your bank statement. What you don't want to do is if you audited, just give them all your bank statements.
Yep. you need to point to it.
Right. You need to have some form of keeping track of your income and expenses.
So one question what you said brings up is about mileage. So, I'm envisioning a person getting in the truck and going out on their job site, and they've got this little, notebook, and it's like the odometer started here and it ended here, and here's the date, and then, oh, now I went back to the office. Do you literally need that kind of thing, or would it be okay to have like your, business calendar and, you went from this place to this place? You could easily do your Google map or something like that to go, oh, at the end of the quarter, I'm going to go and see where all I drove, and I'm going to do a quick map from here to here to here, get those in there, and then put that in there. What's the preferred way?
Okay, great question, Mike. So the preferred and best way, which nobody does,
I know,
is to keep track
every single time
of all your mileage, and use an app and, from here to here, and this is what I did, and this is who I saw, and this is the date and time, and this was the mileage. And there are some great apps for that, including my little tax app. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Not every time.
Yeah.
So if you can do that and even just approximately do it, that is, you're way ahead of the curve than 99% of the people. But the second best thing is what we tell people is on New Year's Eve, take a picture of your odometer so that you know your odometer at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, every year. And then, yes, the second best way is to be able to use your calendar.
Yeah.
And to estimate, and using Google Maps now with technology, this is where I drove from here to here, and this is the mileage. You can see it on Google Maps. And then that's what I paid myself. And just again, I explain this a lot in Freedom Tax Plans a lot more detail. There's two different ways to deduct your vehicles. One, and in both ways, you still need to keep track of mileage, or at least have something in your calendar and take that picture of the odometer on New Year's Eve. And we always send an email to all our clients, and even a message through the apps. Don't forget to take a picture of your odometer. Right. It's, Happy New Year's Eve. But you want it at least somehow, some way, keep track of your mileage. But one, you can actually get that mileage reimbursement, depending on how many miles. Or you can use that mileage or the percentage of the mileage that you use for business purposes. So let's say you have a car and use it for 80% of your business, and you can verify that, through your calendar or through keeping track of a mileage app. Mm-hmm. And then you reimburse yourself for everything related to your vehicle, for every vehicle expense, 80% of that plus 80% of depreciation.
Yes.
And then there's in some instances where you can deduct the entire cost of your car, even if you finance it. And of course, you can find out, and again, a lot more detail in Freedom at freedomtaxplans.com.
And depending on which strategy is best, it's how is your business set up and what are you willing to do? Because, it's like what you said, you don't want to feel like, well, that sounds so complicated, I'm not going to do any of it, because it's a big opportunity. Because, mm-hmm. isn't the you know, we can say what the IRS tax mileage tax rate is, but it could change in 2 days. But it's a pretty nice figure where if you do, you know, now if you go to the Office Max, you know, once a month and that's about it, then you don't bother. But if right. you are yeah. out there, you know, doing a couple, three, four appointments a day or a week, and now all of a sudden it's adding up over the quarter and over the year, it could be substantial benefit. So put the things into place that will make it easy for you to do. And you know, like you said about taking a picture of the odometer, it's probably not conducive to take a picture every day or every trip. But, you know, what is it that you would be willing to do? And whether it's using the app and just typing it in, or whether it's doing the calendar and the Google map and know that you can backfill it once a month, once a quarter, going, okay, here's my mileage. Don't let it go, because that's letting things slip through the cracks. That can be a big benefit for you.
Right. And that's where a lot of people, and when I work with them, and again, I talk about this, more of this with Freedom Tax Plans, really sometimes the easiest way to do it is to look at the percentage that you use sure. your vehicle. And you actually don't even have to do that every month. Just do like an average, maybe a couple of the months every year. What's the average that I use it in my business? And then take that percentage and reimburse yourself for the any kind of vehicle expenses plus depreciation. Another trick is if you are able to do this, if you have a second car in your family, is to designate one vehicle, if you can, for like 90% of business. And then the other vehicle, if you can, you know, designate that mostly for personal. That really helps as well.
Sure. Yeah. Because then you just know, oh, I'm heading out to work. Let me jump in this one. So here's something that pops into my mind when we're talking about this IRS audit to successfully pass it, right? So great tips, great strategies. If someone gets that, you know, pretty full on audit, not just the letter, but you know, that we're going diving in deep. Is that something that the business owner now needs to go, wow, now I'm on the radar and I'm probably going to get audited every 3 years, 4 years, every so often? Or is it something where it's like, okay, just as long as I keep, you know, not triggering issues, then that was my one audit for a period of time? Or is there any rhyme or reason whatsoever?
So there's doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason with our clients. The very few audits we've had, they've not had repeat audits.
Okay.
Now I have heard every once in a while from maybe another tax professional, oh yeah, this client, or maybe a client that came to us like, man, once I got audited, it seems like every 3 years I got audited. I think I heard that maybe from one client that came to us, but I couldn't understand why that would have happened. So that's very, very rare. Yeah. Our experience has been, especially if you pass the audit.
Yes.
I guess our experience is because we've always passed the audits, you know, with our clients and had, you know, good records and good documentation with tax saving strategies that we implement. And they've had, and not even perfect books, but I'm thinking of one client and he didn't use QuickBooks. He didn't use Xero. He just used like an Excel spreadsheet. And that was fantastic. That was great. So it's not like you
because
have
to be well organized.
It was well organized. Yeah.
Well supported.
Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't have like all those receipts, but it was at least documented. Yeah. When
that Excel well, it stands to reason. Like if you go through an audit and you barely pass it and there are all these things and, you know, then maybe it's like, okay, let's do another checkup in a period of time. But if you go through and it's like, check, 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 check. And here we are and everything you need, I've got right here. And it's, well, it's almost like there could be a little checkbox there internally that the IRS goes, this person is well put together, passed it with flying colors. And, you know, let's put them into the, you know, few and far between frequency. Right. So it just stands to reason that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean necessarily that you've done anything wrong. Don't feel bad. Just deal with it. Answer the questions and learn from it. So I would even venture to say this would be a takeaway. Mm-hmm. If and when you get those letters or those, be prepared to respond. But then what can you be doing to make sure that you are as prepared or better prepared if you get the same question the next time? So, oh man, mm-hmm. I couldn't answer confidently the mileage thing. So I'm just going to increase my documentation in my own systems to be monthly rather than quarterly. So learn from it and improve from it. That's a great mindset.
Yes. And one other thing too, that sometimes can cause an audit is filing amended tax returns, especially if you're like you made a mistake or your tax professional made a mistake and you're going back and you're asking for more money or for a bigger refund.
Gotcha.
that could increase your chances of audit.
Got it.
So that's another thing. If you do have a mint, whether it's personal business, whatever, if you're reducing your income so that you're getting more of a refund, or even implementing a tax saving strategy, that could increase your audit. We've have experienced that. Now we've passed the audits, but it seems like when we've done amended returns to correct what other tax professionals have done, then those have a higher percentage of being audited.
But if it's well founded and well documented, that's nothing to fear.
Right. Yeah.
That's a great perspective. You know, I know when I went through mine and I got that letter now, you know, like for instance, I've got kids in college, and when you fill out the FAFSA, you have to log in and do something or another. And invariably about a week and a half later, you get this letter from the IRS that says, you know, you basically, this is to recognize that you logged into the IRS tool, and so it's a nothing letter, but every time you get it, your pit, your stomach, you know, your heart sinks, and it's like, oh no, and it's like, oh yeah, I just did that. But if you are well prepared, well founded through the Freedom Tax Plan strategies, and you get that inquiry or that audit, then you just confidently produce the documentation, you've got the records, you've got the foundation, and you move on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And that's an important thing. And every once in a while, we'll have a client like, well, I don't have my one piece of document ready. Can you go ahead and file the tax return and then we'll amend it later?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope. Yep. No, we're not doing that.
And this is for your benefit,
right,
Mr. and Mrs. Client. This is because let's just get it done and do it all in good timing, but let's not do anything that could potentially trigger. So
pay the little bit of interest and penalties. And
yep, you got it. You got it. Reserve. All wonderful tips. And I love the fact that you've got an app that can help make that a little bit easier to track those expenses and receipts, and also the Freedom Tax Plan program. So wrap us up with what's the best way to reach out and connect with you, and then also talk about your 110% guarantee on the Freedom Tax Plans.
Oh, sure. Oh, thank you, my friends, asking about that. Yeah, so go to freedomtaxplans.com. Just very quickly, it's a program that I created so that any business owner can stop losing thousands of dollars in unnecessary taxes every year. And it's a program similar to LegalZoom for legal documents, where you can input all your information, answer some questions, watch a few videos, and it will tell you the tax saving strategies that you can implement based upon your situation. And it produces all the forms and documents that you need automatically in case you were to get audited. You already have all that. And I have some free webinars for you to find out more about it. And if you do decide to purchase, because it's at a ridiculously low price right now, if you don't save at least in taxes the cost of the program for the very first year, we give you 110% of your money back.
That is some confidence in your strategies. I love it. I think it's spectacular. And I would like to even just add one last piece. You're not just someone that came up with these ideas. You are a tax attorney as well as CPA. And that brings some great credibility to your program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Well, I encourage anyone interested in reducing their tax burden and increasing expenses without spending more money to take a look at Christina's program. Thank you so much for coming back on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you, Christina.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.